of Mark, chapter number 4,
and we'll give you a thought that the Lord has given to us. In that song with my message for this morning, part of it does, and so the Lord just worked all that out, and we appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Mark, chapter number 4 is where we'll find our text at. This is a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. I guess the reality is that to the child of God, all Scripture should be familiar Scripture, but this one certainly is a familiar passage of Scripture, and so we want to deal with it this morning and maybe give you a thought that we've never dealt with before and look at it in a different way than we've ever looked at it. But if you're in Mark chapter 4 and you'd like to stand with us and stretch your legs for a minute, we'll let you do that at this time, and we'll begin reading in verse 35, and we'll read down through the remaining portion of the chapter. Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 35. And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And when they had sent the multitude, when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Boy, you know you're in a rough place when the water is in the boat, do you not? And you know it's bad when the water is in the boat and it's full. That's a place to be. And that's exactly where these men were. And he was part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awakened and said unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the seas obey him?" I want you to look at verse 38, and that's where we'll find the text. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, 'Master, carest thou not that we perish?'" Lord, we love you this morning. We're grateful for another beautiful day of life. We're thankful for the opportunity to be in your house. And I pray that you'd help us in this preaching hour. Lord, let us say that which is pleasing in your... Lord, let us say that which you would have us... Lord, I pray that you'd help us to rightly divide the word of truth and encourage the saints that are here this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. The story of Mark chapter number 4 begins a section of Scripture in the book of Mark that teaches us that Jesus is the master of every situation that we face in life. The main theme of this portion of the book of Mark is this. It is the theme of victory. Jesus is victorious. Therefore, you and I also can be victorious in our Christian lives. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41 teaches us that Jesus is victorious over danger. Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 20 teaches us that Jesus has victory over demons. Mark chapter 5, verse 21 through 34 teaches us that Jesus has victory over disease. Chapter 5, verse 35 through 43 teaches us that Jesus even has victory over death. You see, I'll say it again, Jesus is victorious over every situation that you could face in this life. He is conquered. He is a winner. He is victorious, and so you and I also can be victorious. In Mark chapter 4, this day begins for the disciples like any other day. They get up this morning, the multitude comes out to hear Jesus preach, and on this day, Jesus preaches on the kingdom of heaven. In fact, he gives us what we call the kingdom parables, and he teaches them that day, the multitudes, about the kingdom of heaven. Little did these men know that this typical day would not end in a typical fashion. Before this day was over, the disciples would face a trial that would test their faith and even almost frighten them for their lives. How many of you can testify to the fact that there have been days you've woke up to just a normal day, but by the time the day was over with, you faced things you never imagined you would face that day? Isn't that true? Have we not all been in days like that? Boy, I thought about it. I was meditating and thinking on it this week. And just this week, I thought about, there was a 22-year-old young man that woke up just like any other day, just a normal day of life. Little did he realize, Monday I think it was, little did he realize that on Interstate 40 around the 407 mile marker, that a car would hit another, would flip in the air, land upside down on his vehicle, and he would die in just a matter of a few days. That was just a normal day, a typical day. But he faced something that day he thought he would never, never face. Can I say these disciples woke up this morning and it was just another day. The birds were singing, the sun was shining, everything was good in their life. The Messiah was teaching and preaching. Everything is right. But before the day ends, face a storm that they were not expecting. It has been debated whether Jesus knew this storm was coming, and as he sent the disciples on this ship. If there's any debate in your mind, let me clear it up for you very quickly. Yes, Jesus knew this storm was coming. I believe that he knows everything, don't you? I believe he is God in the flesh, and he knew this storm was coming. In fact, I believe that Jesus intentionally sent them out on the water for the very purpose of facing this storm. These men had learned from the teachings of Christ this day. Now it was testing time, and they were going to have to learn through a storm that Jesus could be trusted no matter what comes into our lives. This week I've been thinking about storms. Storms are something that none of us like to face, but all of us face. Storms are inevitable in life, and they are certain in the Christian life. The truth is that there are some things that you learn about Christ in the midst of a storm that you can learn no other way. While the storm that comes into the life of the disciples in chapter 4 is a natural storm, it has something bigger at the heart of it that is still going to be taught in the life of the disciples. This is a natural storm, but it has a spiritual lesson. Can I share a couple things with you I find interesting from the text about storms, and then I'll give you my message. Let me show you a few things the Lord showed me this week. Let me say this as a way of action. Storms sometimes come into our life when it is already dark. Storms come into our lives sometimes when it is already dark. Look at verse number 35. And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Notice with me when it was that the disciples boarded the ship. The scripture tells us that it was even or evening time. If it was evening time when they got on this ship, that means that when the storm came, it was night time. It was dark time. I guess you could say it like this. It was dark in their lives when the storm crept up on them. How many of you know that trials and tribulations, for some reason, are always harder to deal with in the nighttime than they are in the daytime? Isn't that right? There's something about nighttime that makes that problem seem worse. It might be that in the nighttime everything is quiet and everything is still, and you don't have anything to distract your mind and take your mind off of it. So at the nighttime it is harder to deal with troubles and trials. Hey man, isn't that true? How many of you know that when it rains, times it pours? Isn't that true? Doesn't that happen in our lives? Well, these men had something come in their lives when it was already dark. It was already nighttime in their life. And nighttime was a tough time. It was a hard time. But that is when God sent the storm to them. There are going to be times in your Christian life when you think to yourself, I don't know if I can handle one more thing. There are going to be days when you think, I don't know if one thing more happens. I don't know if I'll be able to deal with it. And just about the time you have that thought, a storm will creep up in your life and it will come up in your world when you think you cannot deal with it. That is when it will show up. Boy, I thought about Job. I don't know what Job was thinking the day they knocked on his door and said, Job, we've got bad news. All your livestock is gone. And Job probably thought, oh my, this is the worst day I've ever had. I don't know if it could get any worse. And then comes another knock on the door. Job thinks, oh my, it couldn't get any worse. And comes another knock on the door. And he loses his finances and he loses his family. And just when he thinks it can't get any worse, he looks down and there are red places and bulls beginning to develop on his skin. That's when he thought it couldn't get any worse. A new storm came into his life. Let me say, there are going to be times in your life when you don't think you can handle anything else, and a storm's going to come. You say, what am I to do? 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with every temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You know what I guess I'm trying to say? When God brings a storm into your life, even though it is already dark from time to time, rest assured that if He brings it to you, He will bring you through it. You may not think you can handle it, but it might be He's showing you how strong He is and how faithful He is and how powerful He is. And He's going to show you how big He is when you think it can't even, you can't even make it. Storms come sometimes when it's all dark. Let me say this. Number two, by way of introduction, storms come to everyone. Storms come to everyone. Look at verse 5 again. The Bible says, the same when even was come, he said unto them. Who do you think the them is in verse number 5? It's the disciples, right? But I want us to think about it more specifically than that. I want you to imagine with me who was on this boat when the storms came. Let me say, I would imagine that Judas was on this boat when storms came, this storm come. Would you not imagine that? We all know who Judas is. Judas was the traitor that'll be revealed. But at this time, they didn't know that. They didn't know that he was who he was. He was a traitor, and they didn't even realize it. In fact, I think Judas wasn't even a saved man. I don't think he was ever saved. He was following along with the other disciples, but his heart wasn't in the right place. You see, Judas was the type of guy that only cared about Judas. When Mary of Bethany poured that alabaster box full of ointment over the feet of Jesus and anointed his feet for his burial, Judas got upset about it. He said that box should have been sold and the money put in the treasury of the church. You see, he was the church treasurer and he had his hand in the bag and he was skimming off the top. He didn't care about the poor. He didn't care about that money being given to the church. He wanted to take part of it for himself. When he was offered 30 pieces of silver to sell out the Messiah, he took the bribe and sold him out with a kiss. Judas only cared about Judas. Judas is a type of a person who says they're right with God, but they're not. They say, I'm right with God, but their life says something else. And they're not living right, and they're not doing right, and their heart's not in the right place. And when we see a storm come up in somebody's life that we know or is not living right, it is easy for us to sit back and say, well, I guess they got what's coming. Isn't that right? There was a Judas on this boat when the storm came. But wait a minute, Brother Eddie. Not only was Judas on this boat, but John was on this boat. You see, Judas was the traitor. Judas was the one that only cared about himself. He was not right with God. But John was the man that loved Jesus so much he oftentimes laid his head over on his chest. It was John that when Jesus wanted to show somebody his glory, he said, John, come up here with me on the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus needed somebody to pray for him, it was John that took into the garden with him. When the other disciples wanted to know something, wanted to hear something from Jesus, they would say, John, why don't you ask him? You're the closest to him. You see, it's easy to look at somebody else's life and say they're not living right and they're not doing right, and I can understand why the storm's coming in their life. But it's hard when you know you're living right, you're doing, you're trying your hardest to be a Christian, you're trying your hardest to be a witness, you're doing everything you can down at the church, you're doing everything you can down at the job, you're trying to be an example to your family and your friends, and you're doing everything you can to live for God, and the same storm creeps up in your life that is hard to deal with and it's hard to explain. But can I say it still rains on the just and the unjust? Storms are coming, neighbor. You may not be in a storm this morning, but if you're not, buckle down, because you might face one before nightfall. Storms come sometimes when it's already dark. Storms come to everybody. But let me say this, and I'll give you my message. Storms affect those around you. Your storm affects somebody else. Look at verse number 36. And when they had sent the multitude away, they took him even as he was into the ship. And watch this. And there were also with him other little ships. Notice the phrase, there were other little ships. That seems to indicate that the disciples were not the only ones that were in a storm this night. When this storm came into their life, it affected some other ships. It crept up into the lives of some other ships, and they were affected by the same storm that came into the life of the disciples. Oftentimes we have an incorrect view of our life. In fact, we are oftentimes very selfish when it comes to our life, because we think the things that we do and the things that we go through only affect us. But they don't just affect you. They affect all the other little ships that are around you. You say, I'm going through a storm. You may be going through a storm, but look around you this morning. There's all sorts of other little ships in the building with you today, and they need you to handle your storm right, because your storm may affect them. Amen. These other little ships needed the disciples to handle the storm right. The master of the sea was on their boat. They needed that ship with the disciples to deal with the storm right, because if they didn't deal with the storm right, it was going to cost somebody else their lives. If you got children, you got grandchildren, you got other little ships around you, you got nieces and nephews, little ships around you, you got family members and you've got friends that are around you. You are a member of this church, and there are other little ships all around you. And it may be dark in your world, and it may be cold at night, and you may be facing a hardship right now, but you better handle that thing right. You better handle yourself right. You better do what is right, even in the midst of the storm, because there are other little ships that you're affecting. Amen. I thought about a message that I preached some time back on Demas. I believe that Demas at one time was a hero of the faith. He was a companion of Paul and Luke, traveled with them, preached with them, probably saw souls saved. And I don't know, but I believe that Demas was a hero, somebody to look up to in the life of a young man named Timothy. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy to tell him about Demas forsaking him. I believe there was a time that Timothy looked up to Demas, and when he got out in the midst of his storm, it hurt some other people along the way. Storms don't just affect you. They affect other people too. We need to handle them right. With all that said, that brings me to my thought for this morning. Let me give you my thought and I'll get out of here. Look at verse number 38. And he, speaking of Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. According to verse number 38, while the storm was going on, Jesus was asleep on a pillow. Did you know the word pillow is only mentioned twice in the pages of your Bible? One time it is mentioned in our text right here. The other time it is mentioned in Genesis chapter 28. You remember the story of Jacob. Jacob is in Bethel. And that night he takes a stone and uses a stone for a pillow. And that night Jesus gives him a dream of a golden ladder. And he shows Jacob that night that he is going to give him provision and he is going to give him protection. The next time a pillow is mentioned in your Bible, it's in Mark chapter 4. And one more time, God's saying, I'm going to give provision and I'm going to give protection even when the storm is raging. I'm going to give protection. You all know what a pillow is. Some of y'all didn't want off your pillow this morning. Can we get a witness right there? A pillow is something you lay your head on to rest. Normally, when you think of a pillow, you think of something soft, something soothing, something peaceful. Here in the midst of one of the greatest storms in the life of the disciples, Jesus has his head on a pillow. In fact, when the storm gets so bad, the disciples criticize Jesus for being on this pillow. Master, carest thou not that we perish? The truth is that while they were so distraught and while they were so worried, they could have been doing the same thing that Jesus was doing. When Jesus arises and calms the storm, he looks at them and he says, where is your faith? They could have had their heads pillowed just like Jesus had his head pillowed in the midst of the storm. I want to preach this morning on this thought. Some things to pillow your head on in the midst of a storm. Some things to pillow your head on in the midst of a storm. I'll give them to you quickly. Number one, we can pillow our head on the Savior's presence. We can pillow our head on the Savior's presence. Look at verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he, speaking of Jesus, said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. I'm sure that the storms at sea were a common occurrence. This storm, however, was different. This storm must have been especially bad for experienced sailors and experienced fishermen like this to get all worked up and to be this scared. But there was no reason for them to be scared like they were when the storm came, because these men had the presence of the Savior with them on the ship. There was someone on the boat that should have and could have and would have brought them peace had they allowed him to. Jesus had demonstrated that he was the master of every situation. He had never failed them in the past, and therefore they could have pillowed their head that he would help them this time. In chapter number one, they witness as Jesus casts out a demon. In chapter one, they watch as Jesus lays his head on the fevered brow of Peter's mother-in-law, and the fever ceases and she gets up and ministers unto them. In chapter two, they watched as a man was laying on a bed with palsy, and four of his friends carried him in there to where Jesus was. And Jesus said, arise, take up thy bed and walk. And that man got up and walked and was healed that very hour. They watched in the very next chapter, chapter 3, how a man came into the temple that had a withered hand. And Jesus said, sir, stretch forth your hand. And that withered hand became whole. They had seen him do all of these things. And if he was able and had power to perform miracles in the past, he was able to take care of their current situation. When storms come into our lives, it is easy for us to do what these men did. It is easy for us to become afraid, become scared, become worried, begin to question what's going on in your life. But if you are saved, you can pillow your head on the fact that you will never face one storm alone. You will never sail through one storm that somebody doesn't sail with you. You may not be able to see him, and you may not be able to sense him, and he may not be just right in front of you, but somewhere on your ship, somewhere on your boat you call life, there's the presence of the Master. There's the presence of the Savior. There's the presence of the wind calmer, the storm calmer. He is in your ship. He is in your storm. And he has not forsaken you. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I think sometimes we forget that God will not allow anything into our lives that he does not permit. Surely you believe that if Jesus had the power to tell the storm to stop and it stopped, he had the power to stop the storm from coming. You believe that, don't you? I don't know what you're going through this morning, but Jesus is with you. He has not forsaken you. Sometimes when it gets dark and the wind starts blowing and the lightning starts crashing, the devil comes by our house and he says, where's God at? You've been trying to live for God and he's nowhere to be found. He's forsaken you. All your friends, they've forsaken you. Your family, they're gone. Your church, they don't even care what you're going through. But that's a lie of the devil. Because there's somebody in your storm with you. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. I wrote this quote down. I read it this week and I liked it. It says this: safer with God in the middle of a storm than you are anywhere else without him. The safest place you could be is where Jesus is. And if Jesus has brought this storm to your life, he is there with you. And you can pillow your head in the storm because you've got the Savior's presence. Let me show you this number two. Not only can we pillow our head on the Savior's presence, but we can pillow our head on the Savior's promises. Verse number 35, and the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. These men had a promise in verse 35 that they were going to the other side. The commandments of God are the enablements of God. When God gives you a commandment, there is nothing that can hinder God's plans for you in your life. Amen. Now notice what Jesus did not promise them. Jesus did not promise they would get to the other side with the absence of a storm. He did not say it'll be easy to get to the other side. He did not say it'll be smooth sailing from here to there. But he did say, we're going to the other side. And can I say, sometimes we expect God to take all the storms out of our life, but that's not always his will. But the storm does not change the promises of God. God does not change his mind because of that storm that has come up and crept up and that you are dealing with today. God's not changed his mind on things. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. There's an expected end to your life. There's an expected end situation. There's a destination. There's a shore. There's a place God is taking you. And he may send a storm along the way, but there's an expected end, and he's going to get you there. God never promised sunshine and roses, but God did promise that you would not suffer without his will and way in your life. God did promise that his grace would be sufficient for what you're going through, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I thought about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, chapter number 18, he's facing one of the greatest storms he's ever faced in his life. He's went back to Jerusalem to try to witness to his brethren and tell them about God. And instead of accepting him, they mobbed him. They would have killed him on the streets of Jerusalem had the Romans not stepped in. And for preaching the gospel and caring about his neighbors, Paul is taken prisoner. He is in a prison ward. He is chained up for just living right. And that very night, Acts chapter 18, God appears to him. And God says, "Fear not, Paul. You've been faithful to witness to me at Jerusalem. You'll witness to me at Rome also." You know what God said? He said, "You might have chains on your arms right now, Paul, but I'm going to get you where I want you to go." A few chapters later, chapter 27, I believe it is, faces another storm. This time it's a real storm. It's called Euroclydon. A storm that would take the ship he was on and destroy it into pieces before it ever reached the other shore. And one more time, that when the storm is so bad, the Bible says they've not seen sunlight in 14 days. They've not ate. They've been throwing things overboard. It looks like they're going to die. God shows up one more time, and he says the same thing. "Fear not, Paul. I'm taking you to Rome. I don't know what you're going through. Lord have mercy, I don't know. I hope nobody here is going through a storm. But if you are, that storm has not changed God's mind on his promises." Galatians 6:9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." You can pillow your head on the Savior's presence. You can pillow your head on the Savior's promises. You can pillow your head, last of all, on the Savior's peace. Verse 38, "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." On a pillow that we can rest our head on in the midst of a storm is the Savior's peace. In fact, this should have been enough encouragement in itself for these men. Imagine this with me, please. Use your imagination. We are on the boat with the disciples. The boat is full of water, filling up quickly. It is so dark outside that we cannot see the sun or the moon. We cannot see the stars. The only time we get a glimpse of light is when that lightning flashes across the sky. The wind is howling. The boat is tossed with the waves. And it seems that all hope is lost and we will die. And then we turn around, verse 38, on Jesus. And he's laying there with his head on a pillow, and he's fast asleep. Can you see the difference, the stark difference between the disciples and the master? They are worried, they are afraid, they are fretting over the storm, but he has peace. This storm hasn't made him afraid. This storm hasn't worried him. He's at peace. I wonder sometimes in the midst of storms, when it seems like the whole world is crashing in around us and it seems like we'll not make it out alive and we're worried and we're afraid and we don't know how we're going to make it through and we don't know how it's going to work out this time. This is going to be the storm that does us in. I wonder in the midst of our fear if God would open up heaven and let us just see God sitting there on his throne. I promise you, he's not biting his fingernails and chewing Rolaids. God's not worried. God has peace. He's the master. He's in control. And he's not worried. And if he's not worried, why should we be worried? Psalms 4:8, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep," the psalmist said. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Too often we're like the disciples. When the storm comes into our life and the troubles arise in our life, we run to Jesus and say, Jesus, don't you care what's going on? Sure he cares. He's not worried. The greatest danger on the boat this night was not the storm. In fact, when Jesus calmed the storm, he didn't stop talking. He didn't go lay back down. When he calmed the storm, he looked at the disciples and he addressed the greatest problem on the boat that night. He said, gentlemen, where is your faith? Why are you afraid? Where is your faith? You see, the greatest problem was not the storm blowing around them. It was the fear and lack of faith that was living inside of them. There are times when Jesus allows storms to come into our lives. Those storms are not meant to harm us. They're meant to help us. These disciples, Jesus had power over demons, over sin. Now they realize he has power even over the elements. Therefore, there is no reason for them to ever fear, because Jesus is in control of every situation. With heads bowed and eyes closed, allow me to say this as I begin to finish and we open this invitation. No matter what you're going through, Jesus is in control. There may even be somebody here this morning that's fighting a storm. Your heart does not have to be filled with fear. You can pillow your head in the midst of the storm. You've got the Savior's presence. You're not. You have the Savior's promise. He has promised you many things in the pages of Scripture. He is not going to change his mind on. You have the Savior's peace. Not worried, neither should you be worried. Don't walk problems with them. If you're here this morning and there's a need in your life, can I invite you to come? Maybe there's somebody facing a storm today. Maybe it's dark in your life and the lightning is crashing and your heart is filled with fear. Maybe you want to come trade that fear for faith. Some are praying, others ought to come. God spoke to your heart today. Some things you can pillow your head on in the midst of the storm. Anybody at all? Brother Eric, can you help me on the piano, please? I hope and pray that in a congregation this size, that you're not, that this many people are testifying, I'm not facing anything today, Pastor. I'm not handling, and if you are facing something, you're testifying, I'm handling it correctly. I'm handling it right. By staying in your pew, that's what you're saying. I'm not facing anything, or I'm facing it, but I'm facing it right. And I hope that's the case. I hope that's your testimony. But it may be that you need to fill yourself up with faith today because you don't know what you'll face tomorrow. And it may need to be that you make yourself keenly aware of the Savior's presence in your life because you're going to need to know He's there tomorrow. Is there anything in your life today you need to deal with, pray about, talk to God over? You can pillow your head on some things. The Savior's presence and the Savior's promises and the Savior's peace did not take the storm away. Too many times we say, God, take it away, take it away. It may not be God's will to take it away. But you can have peace in the midst of it. You can pillow your head in the midst of it. When the whole world is raging, you and I can still know that God is by our side. And we can trust that if God has allowed it, God's going to see us through it. You know, the reality is, and this is something we didn't deal with this morning, God just put it on my heart. The reality is sometimes we face some self-imposed storms. We deal with some things in our life that God did not bring, we brought upon ourselves. But can I give you some good news? Although you may have brought that storm upon yourself with poor choices and decisions, if you are saved, God has still promised that He'd never leave you. And in the midst of that self-imposed storm, you can still run to Jesus, and He can still give you peace, and He still has some promises for you. His promise is that if you ask me to, I'll forgive you. I'll take those sins away. I'll wash you white as snow. You can run to Him even if you brought the storm upon yourself and say, God, I did this to me. God, this was me. I'm sorry. I need You to forgive me. I need You to help me in this storm. God, You didn't bring it. I brought it, but would You help me? Anybody like that?